Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves his inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and we're going to start the sermon off with this quick video.
Like the mesmerizing twinkling lights that hang in the windows of homes, you're drawn in, transfixed by the sparkle and beauty of what might finally be true love. Like that extra bright star in the night that begs for all the attention in the sky, you want to believe that there's a special love out there. Love that defines all other love. Love that defies all the odds. But you've been tricked before. So you pop up the collar of your warmest coat and walk the dark streets, talking yourself out of it. Except you can't. Because if this love is real, if it's true, you can't miss it. But you know this time it won't. It can't come like all the rest. Maybe this love will be small, quiet, unassuming but still inviting. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. And just as you start to look down again, the skies announce his arrival. He's bundled like the gift that he is. He's as vulnerable as you are cold. You think you might run to him, but instead, you kneel.
Well, good morning, Living Water Church. Merry Christmas. This is our final Sunday of Advent before we come back to celebrate Christ's birth together on Christmas Eve. And we've been in this sermon series where we have discovered or maybe rediscovered what the heart of Christmas is. Because see, often we get lost in all of the gifts and decorations and parties, and then in the process of all that busyness, miss the central point of the whole season. But Jesus was born to bring the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love, which is the real reason for Christmas. Now, the first week we learned that we were offered hope in the middle of our circumstances because of God's faithfulness. What he says he will do, he will do. And then the second week we looked at the wonderful, amazing gift of peace that Jesus offers us because of the sacrifice he made for us. And then that we're made right with God, ourselves and others, because God, what Jesus did on the cross. And then last week we learned that joy is ours, no matter what we're going through, no matter what our circumstances are, because God dwells with us. His presence is with us in whatever we might need to face. And then for this fourth Sunday of Advent, we will take a look at the theme within the scriptures that truly ties all these things together. At the heart of Christmas is the great love of God that he has for each and every one of us. So just thinking about gifts, okay, and the gift-giving process and the gift-giving and getting process, let's just be honest for a moment about all of that and when we do that at Christmas. Because, see, every Christmas we have to prepare for that one gift that we get that we're just not sure how to respond to. You know, the one that's like, oh, what do I do here now? And so I wanted to give you just eight possible responses as we get into this theme of love, of how you might respond to that one surprise gift that you get this year. Okay, so here are eight possible responses. Here's the eighth one. Okay, you get slim fast. Well, 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 now that's a gift. Okay, number seven. Okay, I didn't know there was a chia tie, pet tie. Oh, wow, and it's got a clip-on, too. Could be a response. Number six, you know, I always wanted one of these. Jog my memory. What do you call them again? Number five, you know what? I'm going to have to find a very special place for this gift. All right, number four. Boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. Number three. Wow, and that's such an interesting color, too. Number two. You say this was the last book. I'm glad you sure did snap that baby up. And the last one. You shouldn't have. No, I mean you really, really shouldn't have got me that pet Wolverine. Okay, so there you go. Now you're prepared in case you get a crazy gift for any and all scenarios. So today I want to speak to you about a gift that you don't have to rehearse a response for. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given to us, and Christmas is the time in which it was presented. When God sent his son to be born, it was an expression of his unfailing and relentless love. This love is a gift that is so because it meets our greatest need, our sinful nature. It is a gift that is priceless because it could never be purchased apart from Christ's blood. And it's a gift that's timeless because the grace of God is never ending. Above all else, at the heart of Christmas is love. And this gift of love was given right on time. Have you ever received a present that's from someone that you could not believe how perfect the timing was for that gift? You know, maybe it was something that you had been going through and it just met that need that you were in. Or it was as if the giver just knew what was on your heart and what it needed most. Well, the book of Galatians talks about the timing of Christmas as Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Angie read for us the verses 1 through 7 in chapter 4. I want to just look at a couple of those verses. Verses 3 and 4, where it says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son at just the right time, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." From the moment creation was broken by sin, God began to unfurl a plan to restore and rescue all that he had made. The Bible is an account of his divine efforts and faithfulness to reverse the effects of the fall of humanity into sin that started from Adam and Eve. Motivated by love, God partners with those who love and trust him to enact the greatest rescue plan in history. Paul wrote that when Jesus came and was born to Mary, the fullness of time had come. It was the right moment in history to send his son to make a way for the world to be restored. Because of love, God was not content to just sit back and watch his creation suffer forever. He went to great lengths to be with us and to make us a part of his family once again. It reminds me of a Facebook post that I read recently that had actually been put out a couple of years ago. Tracy Howell of Leonard, Texas, found a unique way of showing her husband both her love and companionship in his daily life. And back on December 1st, 2020, she shared this post on Facebook, which has since racked up hundreds of thousands of shares. And she wrote, "Clifford and I have been married for almost 41 years, and I have made his lunch every working day since day one. On occasion, I would join him on the job site and have lunch with him. He made the comment once that lunch tasted better when you share it with someone you love. Soon after that, while fixing his sandwich one night, I took a bite out of it before putting it away. When he got home, long before there were cell phones, he commented that someone had taken a bite out of his sandwich. I told him since that I couldn't join him for lunch, I took a bite so he would know I was joining him. Now, some of you, that might be like, ugh. But for this was a good thing, okay? And so I continue to do this frequently, unless it's tuna or pimento cheese. And he still says, saw you join me for lunch today, and it sure was good. Tracy wanted her husband to know she wasn't just thinking about him, but she was actually joining him in his daily experiences. She was still with him. She's taking a bite out of whatever struggles or hardships he was encountering at work. What is perhaps most amazing about the Christmas story is that when Jesus came, he came to join us in our struggles, to meet us exactly where we are. And so he was born under the law of God in order to redeem humanity, which is under the expectations of God's law. And in doing so, Jesus' perfect life met the requirements that the law demanded. Where we were failing, Jesus is successful. So God's gift of love was given right on time, and his love, with our forgiveness, is what grafts us into God's family. So going back to Galatians chapter 4, the full expression of God's love is demonstrated in our spiritual adoption. We become children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're all given the privileges of sonship and daughtership. We're princesses and princesses with God as our heavenly Father. The late pastor J.I. Packer wrote about this incredible expression of love that came to us at Christmas. And he said this, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers, higher even than justification. See, to be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. And the challenge is that many of us in our lives every day, we're missing the fact that God deeply loves us. And when we miss that fact that we have been adopted into his family, we just kind of have a hard time loving ourselves. And in turn, we have a hard time then loving others who are also valued and treasured by God. And the reason this aspect of Christmas should not be missed or avoided is because it's the central thing to us living the full lives that God wants for us, the kind of life that he can bless. So Paul talks about all the benefits of being in God's family and being recipients of his love in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3, it says, all praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy, without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is rich in kindness and grace, and he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. And he showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything that's in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Can you imagine an inheritance from the God who owns everything? For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Verse 14, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So let me just review just real quickly what this passage is saying. As part of God's family, we are blameless in God's sight, verse 4. Our sins are washed away by his love. God's will and way are that we make known to us as his father might share with the child, because we're one of his children, verse 9. And we're marked with the seal to ensure that we're filled by the Spirit of God, that we will inherit eternal life as one of God's precious possessions, verse 14. And all of this is made possible by the arrival of the baby, Jesus, on Christmas, who would one day sacrificially give his life on a cross to validate God's amazing love for us. So God's gift has been given and was given right on time. And his love is what grafts us into his family. And then God's love freely received is then freely given. When we receive God's love, we can then give it out. The reason love must be at the heart of Christmas is because if we miss this central message of the season in the midst of all the lights and the presents and the activities, we might not ever receive it ourselves. What is perhaps the most tragic about this oversight is that we're often giving the kind of love we perceive to be ours, but yet not have it yet. If we've not received the experience, the grace of God, it is really difficult to offer that grace of God to others. If we've not known the compassion of God, it is really tough for us to be compassionate to other people the way God would want to be compassionate to us. But when we recognize the kind of love that God has for us and we accept it as our own, it becomes the way we treat others around us. The most famous of all passages in the Bible about love helps us understand God's feelings towards us and the way that we should respond to our spouse and our children and our friends and neighbors. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but don't love others, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. See, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always faithful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly by puzzling reflections in a mirror, but when we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so we can get caught up in all kinds of things. We can get caught up even in good things and yet miss the whole point that love needs to be our motivating factor. Love, like we have been given from God, should cause us to be patient and kind to one another. It should cause us to avoid being envious of one another or proud. Love drives us to honor others and to keep a cool head. Love is present when we avoid evil and rejoice with good. Does this sound like the love that you have received from God? And does it sound like the love that you display in your life? And so this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 could be written something like this at Christmas time. And I put that there in your notes if you want to follow along with it on the back of the page. But it says, if I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights and shiny ornaments, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I work hard in the kitchen baking Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I've missed the whole point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind even when harried and tired. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens and all the perfect decorations. Love does not yell at all the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices and giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break. Pearl necklaces will get lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will last forever. So this Christmas, you know, see the arrival of Jesus as the ultimate gift of love. The kind of gift where the only proper response is to receive it. May that love you receive in your hearts cause you to live it out every day of the year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about your great love displayed at Christmas time, may not the familiarity of the story cause us to just kind of glance over it. May not our worship service just be something we're checking off our list to do before we get to Christmas Day. May we actually take the time to embrace that love. To be sure that we have a relationship with Jesus. To be sure that that love we've received is also the love that we're giving out. God, may we just take a moment to check ourselves. In this moment, are there things we need to maybe say to somebody? Are there steps we need to take to rectify things? Is there something where love has not been displayed in our life? And you've been kind of talking to us about it, and we've been kind of putting it off. May that love just that we've received flow out of us freely. May we not stop it up, but may it be a fountain that fills us up to overflowing and just flows out onto those who are in our lives. As we are coming to Christmas Eve and then Christmas, as we are getting the last details set of all the things we have planned, may the busyness of the season not steal the gifts of hope, joy and peace and love. May they be gifts we hold on to no matter what, and may we take them into the new year with us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.